podcast of local stories from this newscast is available on our website, kboo.fm/eveningnews, or look for us on Twitter at KBOO News. I'm Liam Delta.
And I'm Jared Dantzler. Coming up tomorrow morning on KBOO, at 7, it's Democracy Now! With Amy Goodman and Juan Gonzalez. At 8, on Wednesday Talk Radio, host Paul Rowland interviews Matt Pukuku about the massive gas gusher near his Porter Ranch community. And at 9, the guest on Political Perspectives is writer Roy Scranton, who talks about his new book, Learning to Die in Anthropocene. At 10, Chris Andre hosts Eric Hascadia, headlines, interviews, and commentary. At 10:15, hear Flashpoints, investigative news radio with host Dennis Bernstein. And at 11, the Radio Zine features coverage of the December 16th People's Panel sponsored by Know Your City and Portland Tenants Unite. It's called Rent Crisis, A People's Perspective. We want to thank KBOO members for your generous support this year and so your support of this community radio. Please consider donating to KBOO in your end-of-the-year giving. We very much appreciate it.
Good night, Sequoia.
Good night. Good night, Liam. And now stay tuned for a live... Stay tuned now for KBOO's News in Depth.
KBOO News in Depth, where we take a deeper look at the top news stories impacting our community.
Okay, and I am speaking with Jason Gonzalez with Oregon Water.
A massive December 23rd landslide shattered a 200 to 300-foot section of Highway 42 above the Middle Fork of Coquille River. The highway is an important east-west link between Interstate 5 south of Roseburg and Bandon on the coast. The slide occurred during last week's heavy rains near the border of Coos Bay and Douglas counties. Heavy logging had been done on the slope in question in the past few years and may have contributed to the landslide. To learn more about the situation and numerous other landslides that have occurred during the recent storms, KBOO's Paul Rowland spoke this afternoon with Jason Gonzalez, the Forest and Watershed Campaign Organizer with Oregon Wild.
Okay, and I am speaking with Jason Gonzalez with Oregon Wild, and we're talking about the landslide that happened recently out towards the Oregon coast in southern Oregon on Highway 42. Is that correct?
Yes.
So what do you know about this landslide?
Well, what we know is that during the recent storms that hit the entire coastline last week, there was a major landslide that shut down Highway 42, which kind of connects the Roseburg area to the Coos Bay area there. It's a major highway, really, connecting communities, and an entire hillside slumped right off and took out the highway heading towards the river. When we saw this at Oregon Wild, I was really curious what the history of the land there looked like, and so we took to Google Earth and looked through historical images and very clearly demonstrated that most of that hillside has been cut. The exact footprint, really, of the landslide has been cut in the last 2 to 4 years, and the entire ridgeline above it has been really hammered in the last 10.
Yeah, I know. I saw you linked to some satellite imagery that was very striking. It did seem to correspond fairly precisely as you're mentioning. So is this there's just so many logging sites all over Oregon in the Northwest that it's difficult to monitor them all. And so I don't imagine anybody's been paying any particular attention to that site, except when the landslide hit, which is kind of too late. I know that a lot of attention to this issue was put in the Oso landslide that happened last year. I believe was it last year or the year before? Do you recall?
The Oso landslide
in Washington State
the year before.
Yeah. And of course, you know, there's been a series of cases like this. I remember 1996, there was a large case where someone was killed, where a landslide hit and logging activity had taken place above. So, talk a little bit more about this. Have you heard anything from any of the, and who, which land is that on, by the way? Is that private, state, federal?
So, from what we can tell, based on some other reporting and digging, is that this is Oregon Department of Transportation is actually who was working there. And there was a known issue with stability on the hillsides in the area. It was kind of considered a vulnerable spot. And what they're doing there is they've been going along doing work to straighten out and adjust the highway, Highway 42 throughout that stretch, which there's various areas that have been maybe more mildly than this problematic in the past. But right along that stretch where the highway is definitely where there was recent clear cutting. That's pretty clear on the satellite imagery, like you said. And I've got to say, you know, it looks like the Oregon Department of Transportation is acknowledging that their work probably contributed to the problem. It does seem that they're avoiding discussing it in the context of the fact that it was a clear cut, and more just discussing their work in general. But that, you know, with a landslide like this, it looks to me, I'm not much of a geologist, but I do follow the issue in relation to logging. And as far as I understand, there's a couple different types of landslides, and based on the pictures, it does look like this landslide was pretty deep, you know, deep-seated is what they call it, not just the surface rushing off, but kind of the whole hillside slumping. And so there is an underlying geological factor there, but what we do know and what the science is pretty clear on is that, you know, when you not only devastate the most clear cuts and steep lands clear cuts going on.
Let me bracket that for just a second, Jason, and get back to the specific issue of the Highway 42 landslide. Now, you had mentioned that the Oregon Department of Transportation has been doing some work to, you know, straighten out the road, and you said that there is clear cutting. Now it wasn't the Transportation Department that was doing the clear cutting, was it?
You know, I haven't been able to quite yet solidify exactly who did the cutting, but based on the statements from the Oregon Department of Transportation, they are calling the work on that hillside their work. So it does sound like their stance is that was part of their project.
And I guess it's impossible to say at this point, based on that information, what the rationale would have been for doing that kind of clear cutting.
I got to say it's a little bit strange. It seems like the Oregon Department of Transportation is saying that they knew the hill was unstable, as many are in the area. But as you can see pretty clearly from the satellite imagery, you know, the other unstable hillsides nearby with intact forest ecosystems on top of them held together much better than this particular patch that was so clearly cut. I mean, even just based on the video and photography being provided by the Oregon Department of Transportation, you can see that the part of the hill that had intact forest that slumped in on top of the landslide, the trees really held together, actually, on that. And the only reason they slid in is because the land washed out from under them. The land that actually washed out is the land that didn't have trees holding it together anymore.
Mm-hmm. Okay, so let's get back to the broader issue. It's interesting the language that you use, that, you know, it's impossible to tie any particular circumstance to, you know, this catastrophic landslide, which is very similar to the language that people use about climate change. It's impossible to tie any particular climatic episode to global climate change, you know, which kind of points to the structural similarities in the sense that both have in play cumulative impact and complex multiple factors involved, which obviously should be a cautionary tale to continue to do the kinds of activities that we're doing, which are causing such chaos. But so in your article that you put out about this just today, you mentioned that there was the same storms that triggered that landslide contribute to a fatal landslide near Florence. Do you know anything about that landslide?
You know, I've been working to kind of to try to zero in on exactly where that landslide happened and see a similar situation, if a similar situation is present there. Haven't made it quite as far on establishing the exact location and the geology contributing to it. There's not a whole lot of information out there on it quite yet. That might be, you know, out of respect for the situation with the woman who lost her life in that situation. But what we do know is that, you know, this is a big problem in the Coast Range, and that what we are seeing is that it's happening. And just to be clear, I think that there are situations where landslides can be tied directly to logging, but it gets a little harder, I think, with some of these deeper landslides where whole hillsides move. I think that some of the shallower landslides, which is more comparable to the slide you referred to in 1996, where people did die in Oregon, there is a little bit more opportunity there to connect the clear cutting to the actual slide when it's kind of more of a surface slide. The deep seated landslides are more something where we can try to mitigate the impact and the level of catastrophe that happens through our practices. And that's something that laws in Oregon really don't do.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, you mentioned also in your article that Washington State rules for logging are stricter than here in Oregon. Now, is there any attempt at a state level to get a grasp on the overall context of landslides that are occurring?
You know, there is really. There's a current forming process to try to address through the laws that manage private lands logging in Oregon, the Oregon Forest Practices Act. There is a forming attempt to try to address steep slope logging in particular, and that will be forming over the course of this year, really. And that's really in response to what we're hearing from people in the Oregon Coast Range, especially coming out of this storm system where we really had an outcry from the North Coast of people telling us in their communities that what they're seeing is slides coming off of clear cuts. And honestly, the only reason that we haven't been able to kind of really document that is because it's so hard to access the area right now, because of the level of devastation that's occurred on the north coast of Oregon after these storms in areas that have been clear-cut heavily.
Really, yeah.
You can't even get in there to document what's going on. It's so well shut down. A situation like on Highway 42 is playing out in mass all over the coast.
I haven't heard that, so I'm sure our listeners haven't heard much about that. I appreciate you're getting this information. I hope you'll keep us informed. So, you know, what's the takeaway from this? Obviously, you know, your group and other groups have been working to reform forest practices at state and federal and private land levels for quite some time. Do you think this is going to be any kind of a wake-up call to really finally come to grips with, especially in the Coast Range where there's so much private land logging?
You know, I really think that this is going to be the year that we start to see changes. We have people, especially in the Coast Range, like you say, where there is more of the less regulated private land clear cutting, we really have people coming out complaining more than ever about landslides, about, you know, helicopter spraying of chemicals, about clear cutting above drinking water sources, and various aspects of the way that private lands are managed in Oregon. And I think that people are really taking a stand in recent years and saying, you know, the timber industry isn't doing for the economy what it used to, and what it really is doing is damaging our communities without giving back, and that it's really time to start holding them to a higher bar and expecting them to take some common sense reform seriously and start protecting people and property.
And do you see this having taken any particular form right now that people could pay attention to, or is that, do you think in the legislature there's anything going to be moving?
Well, I'm not sure about the legislature this year. I know that there's dramatic efforts to really pressure the legislature to really try to dive into it as soon as they can, which may not be this year, but maybe in 2017. And that right now we're really encouraging folks to get connected to nonprofits like Oregon Wild and others that are working on the Coast Range to try to work towards broad-based reform of the Oregon Forest Practices Act to address concerns like landslides, but others as well.
And who are some of those other groups working as well?
You know, there's a number of organizations that are talking about it these days. When it depends on kind of the issue that you're talking about, there's groups. Oregon Wild has worked with groups like Beyond Toxics on spray issues and sustainable forestry. Organizations like Pacific Rivers are traveling the state with movies that really clearly show the impact that private lands logging is having on on drinking water sources and human health, especially on the North Coast, like we were talking about. And more and more organizations are coming to the table and really responding to Oregonians' demands that we really start to address this issue.
Okay. Well, thank you so much. And again, your position with Oregon Wild?
I'm the Forest and Watershed Campaign Organizer, and I specifically work on private lands logging in the Oregon Coast Range.
Well, you're the person to talk to on this. Okay, thank you very much, Jason Gonzalez.
Thank you, Paul.
Thank you to all of our new and renewing members during our winter membership drive. That makes KBOO one of the best community radio stations in the country. We fell a few thousand short of our goal of 55,000, so if you didn't have a chance to give, it's never too late. Remember, for the month of December, if you become a new member or if you increase your giving over last year, your gift will be matched by a number of local businesses and individual donors. Donate now at kboo.fm/give. Thank you once again for being the best supporters a station could ever ask for.
KBOO Community Radio is a proud co-sponsor of the NARA New Year's Eve Sobriety Powwow on Thursday, December 31st from 1 p.m. to midnight at the Oregon Convention Center in Portland. Grand entry will be at 1 and 6 p.m. with honorings, Ed Goodell as the whip man, NARA All Nations Drum as the host drum, and MC Philip Archambault. Again, that's the NARA New Year's Eve Sobriety Powwow, Thursday, December 31st, from 1 p.m. to midnight at the Oregon Convention Center, Hall A and B, 777 Northeast Martin Luther King Boulevard in Portland. More information is available at kboo.fm on the right-hand side of the homepage under Community Events.